Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, who is professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
Chris, I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. Because you know what today it is today?
Today is New Comic Day.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I got it wrong last week, so I Googled it.
You're absolutely right. It was not Shave Chris's Back Day last week.
No, that was last week. Did that weekly or monthly?
I try not to do it too often because then it just grows back thicker, right?
Thicker.
Nobody wants a carpet for a back.
A pelt.
Yeah, that's right. But Chris, it is New Comic Book Day, and of course we have fantastic comics to talk about today.
Yes, we do. We have, I wanted to bring up some releases from Marvel today. Did you know today, Chris, did you know that Spider-Man has two issues. You have 633 and 634 releasing today.
What? That's crazy talk.
Yeah, I know. This might have been some sort of scheduling snafu, but you better read the right one.
So you're saying that now? Why would Marvel do this? This is kind of asinine, don't you think? Why would they publish two of the same comic in 1 month? Like putting out consecutive books in one week? Actually,
I think that's
ridiculous.
No, I think you hit asinine on the head there. Which is what it is.
Really, it really is.
It could only be some sort of scheduling conflict or whatever. But
does that mean is there not going to be an issue next month? Are they going to skip a month, or is this just a way of trying to bilk more money out of their audience?
I'll go with door number three.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name on Let's Make a Deal?
Monty?
Monty
Hall.
I'll go with door number three,
yeah,
Monty.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I always loved that show. I always wanted to be dressed up as like a playing card or something.
Yeah,
like,
wasn't that awesome?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
More Monty Hall.
That's right. I'll give you $5. What you got in your purse? Yeah.
Yes. Spidey 633 and 634 are coming out today.
Well,
and,
that's ridiculous. Yeah. But anyways,
there's a good storyline though. I think people will want to pick it up. It involves Kraven the Hunter and kind of.
I thought he was dead.
Yeah, he is, but it's his. It's his wife and his daughter that are tracking Spidey and stuff.
Right. So they've been reincarnated by those aliens.
The last Kraven the Hunter story I read was that, remember that crossover that Spidey, Amazing Spider-Man, I think, what the heck was it called?
Kraven's Last Hunt?
Yeah, Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic.
I know.
Written by J.M. DeMatteis and drawn by Mike Zeck. It was in over three different issues in Web of Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, and Amazing Spider-Man. It was a great six-issue run. Absolutely phenomenal.
You are right. And I think they did wrong to kill Kraven off.
Well, they did, unfortunately. But it was a great storyline. It was wrong to kill them off. However, what's even more wrong is the fact that they keep bringing him back. You know, the character's dead, all right? We realized he was a great character and they killed him off maybe a little bit prematurely. However, in that storyline, they did a very good job at killing him off. And so why doesn't Marvel just let it die? Right?
Leave it alone.
Let it be.
You are right, Chris. But you know what? Spidey fans, they're going to jump all over this.
And
for good reason. Also for Marvel, New Avengers number one comes out today. And I guess we're going to find out who the new Avengers are because Avengers number one came out.
You know, I get so confused.
Was it last week or the week before? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
How many Avengers titles are there?
I think
17.
I think so. I get so confused. Like, I used to like it when there was Avengers and like West Coast Avengers, right? And then Avengers died, and then West Coast died.
New Avengers.
And then there's New Avengers, and there's
Great Lakes Avengers.
And then there's now the new Avengers because the old new Avengers are now gone, right?
Right.
So now it's like the new.
I think there's an Ultimate Avengers.
Isn't there like a Dark Avengers or something?
You're right. A Dark Avengers.
I'm just waiting for Viking Avengers.
There might be.
Or perhaps like, you know, Monk Avengers or something like, you know, Icelandic Avengers. Who knows? They can go stop the volcano or I don't know.
Or, right?
Like, it's ridiculous.
Or English Bowling Hat Avengers.
Yes. I like it. Yes.
What the hell was that guy's name? Steed?
Steed Mrs. Peel from the
Mrs.
Avengers?
Peel,
that's
yes,
right. Yeah, I like
Avengers,
that. Yeah,
so
that's good.
You get those
good.
Avengers
yeah, yeah.
too. All right. Criminal Volume 5 for Marvel's coming out today, too. It's a graphic novel that...
Ed Brubaker.
Yep. It's one of those graphic novels that actually sells better than the comic book.
Right. Well, and you know what's great about that is because as we've talked about before, when you get a graphic novel and you can read the whole thing all at once, you don't have to worry about the issues coming out. And, of course, the idea of graphic novels selling better than the individual books is really nothing new because... I know years ago when the Preacher comic book series was coming out, Preacher was a phenomenal series by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon.
Yep.
And this was a comic that actually sold better in graphic novel form, and they sold more copies of the graphic novels than they did the individual books per month. Right?
You're right. And I think that was kind of the forerunner of, as we probably mentioned before in other shows, things like Fables and Why,
yes.
The Last Man, where graphic and Walking Dead,
yes.
Where graphic novels actually do better than the comics. But I mean, Walking Dead being the exception, I think. But I mean, the other ones, how can I say it? It's a core audience. I don't think people want, say, a big event like, let's say, Civil War.
Right.
You don't really want to read that as a graphic novel. I think fans, they want to participate in the event as it goes on.
For stuff like that, I agree.
Yeah, it's such a big thing, yeah. And people want to blog about it the night after they read the thing.
And you know what? You bring up a very good point here. It's funny how in the comic book industry, there are graphic novels that solidify events such as, Brightest Day, Blackest Night, Civil War, Dark Reign, all those kind of things, right? And then there are a lot of graphic novels that are just solid, amazing storylines, right? Like Walking Dead, like The Sandman, like Preacher, like Criminal, which is just coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how because of these events that sort of have these supposedly wide sweeping changes to the industry, which of course never really quite happens,
right?
In the Marvel and DC industries, of course. We have those things that people want to be a part of on a week-to-week basis. However, on the general storyline of graphic novels, people are more than content to just buy the graphic novel.
You're right. But, I mean, we're still – they're still – everything is still chained to the monthly, to the cliffhanger, to the how could I say – yeah, I guess the cliffhanger.
Yep.
But, like – I'm asking, would something like Bone or would something like let's just stick with Bone.
Okay.
Would the volume one, out from Bonesville, read any different if Jeff Smith designed it as a one graphic novel as opposed – because as you know, when a person writes a monthly – they're bound by kind of a cliffhanger type of thing. There has to be like a pace to it. I don't know, I might be wrong here. Let's say 20 pages or 23 pages like the old comics.
Right.
You have to have a 23-page rhythm. And at the end of the 23-page, it has to have kind of like a finish or semi-finish with a cliffhanger that wants you to come back next month. And then you repeat that, let's say, 5 times.
Right.
And then you kind of have a climax to that kind of segment of the story.
Yes.
And then you come back to that. So even graphic novels, majority of them, the ones that are produced, let's say, by Marvel and DC, they're still chained to the monthlies in terms of their rhythm and stuff.
Right,
so,
absolutely.
And some of the best graphic novels, like, say, Bone again, I'm just wondering, I guess, the thought process is, would they have been different had he wrote it as kind
of – in the Marvel way.
Or as 5 stories at once where he didn't have to have 5 little semi-endings within that book to have an ending.
I don't think it would have changed as long as the integrity of the book maintained the same had the same quality to it, right? And I guess when I think of this, I think of Cerebus, right? So Cerebus had some giant, phone book style graphic novels, and some of them weren't all that big, right? So I think as long as the artist or the writer maintains a certain amount of integrity and stays true to the comic and lets the story flow, as long as that happens, then it doesn't really make much of a difference. However, that would not at all fly with the Marvel and DC way of writing comics,
right? You're right.
Where you have to have stories ending in a 6 or 7 issue arc, and yes. then, so therefore they can be packaged as a graphic novel later on and then resold again, right?
Right,
so.
Right. Okay, Chris, we'll drop that for now. We got to keep moving. Batman Beyond, number one of six, comes out today. And excuse me.
He's having a little problems here. He's got a little bit of a hiccup there.
I had a hiccup. So Batman Beyond, number one of six, right? I'm not familiar with Adam Beechin.
Adam Beechin?
Yeah, Adam Beechin is the writer.
Okay.
And it's, anytime a Batman graphic novel, a Batman miniseries comes out, it's big news for Batman fans.
Well, of course, so Batman Beyond was initially a cartoon that came out. And this is supposedly like the next generation of the Batman. It's Batman, like Bruce Wayne is no longer Batman, and somebody else has taken on the cowl, so to speak. And this was initially a cartoon, and now they're making it into a comic book. Of course, there has been a comic. There's a comic many years ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam Beechin, I can't say as I'm familiar with his writing style. I don't really know much about him. But I'm sure the Batman fans will love it.
You know what? Batman fans are crazy.
Yeah.
Hardcore fans. And Batman's one of the and we talked about this before again. Batman is one of the characters that can withstand.
Oh, yeah.
That can endure 78 different writers in a year trying that character.
Yeah. Well, luckily for the character, some really great writers have made that character very complex. And in doing so, they've made that character more available to a lot of different writing styles. So when I talk about this, for example, Frank Miller made that character more complex with the way that he saw the future of the Batman character going. So therefore, they can take those ideas that he kind of spurned and play off of that, and so you get a character like the Batman Beyond, where the new Batman is actually learning from the old Batman. Right. There's a lot to it.
Follow you, Chris. I follow you.
Right on.
All right. Let's keep moving. Brightest Day number four comes on. I thought I'd mention it because it's, big DC event.
It is a big event. Yeah, absolutely.
And I also wanted to mention that Simpsons Comics number 167 is still going strong and is hitting your stands today.
You know what? I was never really a big fan of when they try to have a cartoon go into a comic book form. Because when I read it, I gotta hear the voices, I gotta see the animation, I gotta, all those kind of things that don't really quite fit for me usually. However, having said that, Simpsons Comics seems to be able to transcend that issue with me, and I really do enjoy reading the Simpsons Comics.
Right, I don't read the Simpsons Comics. You know what? My kid loves the Simpsons Comics.
Well, you know what's really great about the Simpsons comic, as well as being very well written most of the time. You get a number of different kinds of artists drawing it. So you get artists who don't normally draw The Simpsons. And so you get a guy like, say, Dan Brereton, right, who is a gothic horror kind of style artist who will draw a Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror kind of thing.
Right.
And all of a sudden you'll get just a smidgen of his sort of gothic horror style art in the Simpsons comic, which makes it that much more cool, right?
Okay.
It's a great comic. Yeah, I highly recommend it to anybody who wants to go out and check out anything Simpsons.
Excellent. And as always, we've just mentioned a few of the comics that are hitting the stands today. Get into your local comic shop and check out today's new releases. All right, Chris, we're going to move into industry news.
Yes.
And I want to start off with a tidbit on there might actually be a live-action Blue Beetle.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really? I mean, really?
Apparently, Geoff Johns on his Twitter feed.
Blue Beetle.
Has.
Hold on a second. You did say Blue Beetle, right?
I did say Blue Beetle.
Okay, I just want to make
and,
sure.
And apparently, Blue Beetle is starting to appear in Batman, The Brave and the Bold, which is, I think, an animated series.
Yeah,
on
absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
And the Blue Beetle is going to be.
Okay.
I won't say a regular. I guess he'll be some sort of regular.
I have a friend who is a huge Blue Beetle fan. Like, the Blue Beetle is probably his. I shouldn't say probably. It is his most favorite comic book character of all time.
Wow.
Brian, you know who you are when you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
He must be absolutely just jumping out of his skin to hear something like this.
Because
really, like, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Well, apparently, according to Geoff Johns, though, is excuse me, I'm having another one of them burps.
Thanks a lot, Walt. Thanks for sharing that on the air with everybody. That's great.
There's actually a live action series in development, according to Jeff Johns.
You know, I got to say, I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy a Blue Beetle live action series.
Come on.
I don't know. First of all, is it going to have – it depends on what kind of Blue Beetle they take. If they take like the fat, crusty Blue Beetle from when, you know, he wasn't really doing so well, or are they going to take the energetic young one? I'm preferring the fat older one that hangs out with all the hot babes, right? Like Fire and Ice, who are a couple other Marvel characters, or sorry, DC characters. I think it'd be great, but you know what? It's probably not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen, but you know what? The reports is that Jeff Johns is looking to, I guess, debut the sequences or footage of the new series at the Comic Con in San Diego this summer.
Right.
So you know what? Anything involving, I mean, here's an example of how far comics have got,
yeah,
in the sense that, you know, the Blue Beetle.
Oh, well, it's crazy.
Is getting interest for some schmuck with money. Okay, listen, some schmuck with money is being sold on this by, let's say, Jeff Johns,
yeah,
going to him, look, pal, you know, comics are it. Blue Beetles is your ticket.
You know,
right?
What? If you want to get involved in comics, then Blue Beetle is the way to go.
Right.
Buddy. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Blue Beetle, who'd have thought, say, 2-3 years ago? Yeah, you know, X-Men, Spider-Man, but
Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But you know what? Having said that, I remember we were talking a few weeks ago about Marvel and how they're going to start investing money into lesser-named characters.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
So, you know, if Dazzler can get its own series or movie.
Why not the Blue Beetle?
Or animated show or whatever. Why not Blue Beetle? Heck, you know what? Why not have, you know, I don't know, Spawn, or I guess they've already had a cartoon.
They have
Spawn.
Had
yeah,
Spawn.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right,
good pick, Chris. Yeah. Good one on that.
A little dry on the old noggin there today. Sorry about that.
All right. I have news on Batman 3.
Okay.
Which apparently will start filming soon. Now, Chris Nolan has plans to begin shooting the third Batman movie
right on
in March of 2011.
Cool.
So that's kind of slated for July 2012 release.
Right on. Now, do we have any other information about that? I don't want to ask you anything that you don't know. So
right. No, actually, it's basically the report I read on the internet was that March 2011 is scheduled to begin the shoot.
Right.
Now, Warner Brothers had announced earlier that they were looking for a July 20th, 2012
okay.
release, so which would give it enough time. I guess it takes about a year or so to get this thing,
sure,
you know, started,
sure,
and stuff. So that's basically all I have on that. But
okay, now, well, here's a personal question then for you. If you, what comic book Batman villain do you think would be the ultimate next Batman villain to be in the next movie?
Good
right,
point.
I mean, we've had Ra's al Ghul, the Scarecrow, and the Joker so far, really. And Two-Face.
Mr. Freeze. We've had Arnold as Mr.
Okay,
Freeze.
I'm not talking about the old ones. I'm talking about only in the new Christopher Nolan ones. We've had you know, Two-Face, Joker, Ra's al Ghul, and Scarecrow. So which
well,
of those
well, here's
ones?
The thing. Here's the argument here. There are some Batman villains that lend itself to kind of unbelievability, to camp. Let's
right.
say like the Penguin.
Right.
Which is kind of rooted in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
and it was basically taken over by, you know, the Burgess Meredith, Danny DeVito kind of typecast of a kind of comical thing.
Right.
I honestly think they should stick to something like Hush or something like that, in a sense where they're bringing it on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they're keeping it very adult kind of thing.
Yeah,
you can't. I don't know. I could be wrong.
So, so Clayface, you know, characters like that.
Yeah. You know. Where you can kind of have it more. I don't know.
Macabre.
Dark.
Yeah,
macabre.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't know if you can do the Penguin like that.
Well, you know, I don't think you probably can't. I think the only way you could do the Penguin is if he was some sort of high profile businessman, you know, in a you know, weird sort of underground crime scene, but he's actually known among everybody as he kind of runs all kinds of corporations, but
right.
has seedy interests and everything. I don't think you could do the whole story behind that. However, you know, I think having a new Catwoman, which, by the way, I think would be fantastic, right? Any thoughts on who a good Catwoman would be, by the way?
You know what? I don't know. A Catwoman, yeah, I mean, there's so many. You know what? The problem with Catwoman is they're going to go with, and this is where I'm going to disagree, but what they would probably do is they would go with the hot actress of the day.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like Megan Fox.
Like that. Okay, let's cast her as the Catwoman. And I don't know if that's not serving the character and the movie right as much as it's serving the pop culture machine I'm not sure I'm expressing it correctly.
No, I hear what you're saying, but you know what? I got to say that if anybody's going to do if anybody will direct a good Catwoman, Christopher Nolan will, because certainly if you had told me, when I heard that Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, I thought you were crazy, right? Like, here's the guy that was in Brokeback Mountain, who was in Knights of the Round Table type movie. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, he was in all these kind of movies that were not a typical, really graphic portrayal of anybody that is disturbed. And sure enough, he did a great job at this one, right? Maybe Christopher Nolan can choose the right actress. Maybe Megan Fox has it in her to play.
You're right. I just think my argument was that sometimes, and I'll give you an example, and nothing against this guy. I just absolutely love the guy. I mean, he's a great guy, but when Marvel invests so much money into creating a character around a living actor,
right,
like they did with Sergeant Fury and what's the guy's name, the black guy,
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Fanboys love Samuel L. Jackson, yeah, so we're going to bank on Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury.
Right.
And I think the character is bigger than the actor.
Right.
I honestly do.
I agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
all
for
right.
Sure. Anyways.
Yes. We'll move on. Walking Dead.
Yeah.
American Movie Channel is in production of the zombie epic, I guess.
Awesome.
As a series.
I keep thinking that the whole zombie fad rather is gonna end, and it doesn't. It just keeps on going. It keeps on getting stronger and
something
stronger.
About zombies.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yes, neither did they apparently. Robert Kirkman's Walking Dead is now in production, and
right.
I guess there's websites. I don't have the website on me, but it's on the net now where they actually have footage of the zombies walking.
That's awesome. Very good.
Everybody's so excited about it. And what we haven't asked is, our friend John Muir.
John Muir, yes.
Yeah,
who's been in many, many zombie films already.
He might be in the Zombie Hall of Fame.
He should be, really.
Right.
And did you know that he's actually been invited to, there's a horror convention, I think it's in Philadelphia or something like that. He's been invited down there as one of the guests.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? He mentioned that to me.
Yeah,
he's like, it's not a comic show. It's like a zombie fest.
It's like a horror convention or a zombie fest.
It's like
fest.
One of the guests of honor or something.
Yeah, he's going to be signing autographs because he's been in five zombie movies now
more,
or something like that?
More.
Yeah,
it's great when John comes into the shop every now and then. He'll pick up a Fangoria, the newest Fangoria, that month's Fangoria. He'll go, "Hey, Walt, hey, have a look at this," right? And he'll open it up, and it'll be a picture of some you can't hardly recognize,
right?
But it'll be a picture of some guy eating the intestines of somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Because hey, that's me.
That's right.
Good work, John. Your mom would be proud of you.
Claim to fame is you can eat somebody's intestine on film.
Yes,
that's great.
Your mom
that's
would
awesome.
Be proud.
Yeah.
But, so Walking Dead fans, and there's legions of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just Google it, I guess. But there's great footage, apparently, of the new zombies, and people are very excited.
Absolutely.
All right. Chris, we've this isn't deja vu.
Oh. Phew, that's good. I was hoping wasn't redoing the show.
Right. But shame. Wizard World.
Yes.
Seamus has acquired Comic Con, Connecticut Comic Con.
Okay.
Has been acquired by Wizard World.
Okay.
And now I think it's the 93rd comic show he's bought in the last
so.
2
yeah,
years.
Because he really is just plowing through all of them, eh? We know that he bought up the Toronto Comic Con. And
he bought up a whole bunch of Comic Cons. Yeah. I think the Boston Comic Con, the New York Comic Con. He's just now. I think he has. I could be. I'm going to guess a dozen Comic Cons right now. And you know what? It gave me the idea that like you and I should start a Hamilton Comic Con.
We really should, and then maybe he'll buy it.
Yeah, let him know. Yeah. Just give him an email. Yeah. We don't even have to have one.
You know, here's what.
Listen,
we'll do.
We won't have one. We'll just say, "Hey, the Hamilton Comic Con." Yeah,
here's what we'll do. All right, I got an idea. Here's what we'll do. We're gonna start up our own Hamilton Comic Con. And we're going to start sending up flyers. We'll take an ad out in Wizard Magazine with all these guests who aren't even like around anymore.
Good one.
Right? Like, we'll have like, you know, like Cesar Romero.
Frank Frazetta.
Yeah. Yeah. All these guests that like don't even exist anymore. So we just, and then hopefully maybe he'll say, oh my God, these guys are fantastic. How are they getting these guests?
Yes.
Right? And then he'll want to buy up our show.
Right. We'll get that phone call. And we'll say, that's right. It's a deal.
Absolutely.
We'll take what's behind door number three, Monty.
Nice.
All right. Chris, man, we got to move on. I don't know where the time goes.
I know. You know what? We really do.
Well, Chris and I get together, time just flies.
Well, yeah.
Chris, I want to talk about the IDW, which is a publisher. Thank you, Chris. Comic book publisher has announced that they will go to a month delay for their digital releases.
Well, you know, that seems to be getting very popular. The whole idea of the digital release in conjunction with the hard copy release, I guess I'll call it.
Yeah, you know, I guess.
So the fact that IDW is doing it with a month later isn't surprising.
Yeah, and now I guess the strains and the talks on the internet, it depends, I guess, on who you're listening to. The brick and mortar shops are kind of not liking it. They think it's not enough of a delay.
So for our listeners, in case they're not too sure exactly what happens, is we have, you know, our hard copy of the comic that actually comes out on, say, a particular any given Wednesday.
Say today, right.
Say today.
Yes.
And then in IDW's case, what they're going to do is they're going to release a digital copy of it over the internet so that fans, instead of going out into the actual brick and mortar store, they can go on the internet and they can locate this comic.
Buy it and download it
for, I guess it's not usually the same amount of money. It's usually a little bit cheaper. And then they'll have a digital copy of it for their own computer to keep.
Right.
And so this is sort of the trend that's happening. Marvel's doing it. I'm not really quite sure if DC is doing it, but I know that it's.
Well, yeah, Marvel one upped them, and with that Iron Man annual that's coming out at the end of the month, they're releasing it the same day.
Right.
But from what we understand, it's actually more money than the hard copy, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So that won't hurt stores. No. But the interesting thing is, and I actually explored this a little bit on the web. And I read some comments and I read some feedbacks and I read some fan things and read some store things. And it's like the problem with – I won't say it's a problem, but the comic brick and mortar – like the whole industry is changing and it's already happened in music and it's already happened here and there. But I guess there was a few people talking about the brick and mortars not ordering.
Right.
Let's say they knew that Iron Man, the graphic novel, was going to be released the same day.
Right.
They would basically, if they were a cohesive unit, if they were an organization that was connected and had members that were one.
Yes.
They would order none for Marvel.
Right.
Right. And so Marvel's orders for Iron Man annual would be zero.
That's
or would
right.
be, you know, minimal.
Yep. Yep.
And they would fail in their thing.
Right.
And that would be, I guess, a signal to Marvel from the brick and mortars saying, hey, you know, you're going to hurt us with this thing.
Yeah,
right. But I guess my argument is it's probably in the long run a losing battle.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's something that's it's a tidal wave. It's coming.
Yeah.
I think there are other ways to adapt to it other than some sort of boycott.
Yeah, I think eventually this is all going to happen. Certainly with the advent of things like the Kindle, which is like like the iPad, where you can actually download books and read them on your little tiny screen. I think that's probably going to end up the way it's going to happen. However, it's not going to diminish what the brick and mortar stores, because people still want to be able to collect something.
You're right.
And I don't think being able to collect something digitally will ever catch on in a big way. I don't know how that could possibly happen. because files are easily copied. You can't say I only have one of this one or whatever, right?
And so, you bring up a good point is what the companies are exposing themselves to is piracy.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And so it's hard to pirate a hard copy of a comic book unless you steal it from your local comic store, right?
Well, and then you'd have to, like, you know, go and photocopy it or something.
Right. But but even, like, my point is people, you know, I'm sure that 2% or 3% of the comics delivered to comic shops get stolen.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
But I'm sure that I'm just going to guess here that maybe 40% of the red Iron Men that are read on the internet will be pirated copies.
I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure,
so, yeah. I mean, it's something. I guess it's. I won't say it's exciting, but it's a time in history in comic books where change is here.
Yes.
And it's just going to be very interesting how it all unfolds in the next few years.
Yeah. And you know what? Unfortunately, speaking of change, we now have to change the topic because we've run out of time. We're actually going over time. And we do apologize to our next
do we get paid overtime,
next
Chris?
Host, unfortunately. No. Oh. But if you do have any comments or questions, please don't hesitate to email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox at bigbcomics.com. Please go outside and enjoy your local comic book retailer's comics.
See everyone next week.
Bye-bye.